Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Kate Hennessy, and you are listening to Get Focused Radio. We're thrilled to have you here. Please stay with us for the next hour and let us inspire you and help you refocus when life gets in the way. Each week on Get Focused Radio, I'm going to try and bring you guests that have overcome challenges, guests will inspire you, and guests will share tools and techniques to help you create a more fulfilled and happy life. Please feel free to join me after the show at AskKateHennessy@GetFocusedRadio.com. You will not want to miss this Power Hour as our special guest, Toronto singer-songwriter Meredith Shaw, joins my best and her vision, Young Women Everywhere. This incredible young dynamo is already a well-known on-air personality at Toronto radio station Boom 97.3. She's a gorgeous Benberry plus-size model, and she's going to share her passion about empowering young women with her latest venture, Girls Who Believe Tour and Contest. I'm joined today by two other special co-hosts here, Melissa and Janine, who are with the Curtis Secondary School. They are co-ops with Get Focused Radio this semester, and they're going to join us to speak with Meredith about all of her great upcoming things that are going on in her life. Meredith, thanks so much for taking time out to join us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. What a lovely introduction. Thank you.
Oh, you're a lovely girl. And you're on holidays. We won't say where, but a well-deserved rest before you get back into really whirlwind stuff coming up for you.
There is. There's a lot. There was a lot on the go, and I'm stealing a couple days away. But when we get back, it's you kind of hit the ground running again. So it's good to get away and recharge every once in a while.
That's awesome. Well, I want you to take us back so that we can all get, you're a very well-known personality. Tell us how you started to get into music. Like, what was your incentive? When did you get going?
Sure. Well, everything kind of got going for me around 14, I guess. I can remember that age. I'd always wanted to be a singer and take singing lessons. And I remember my kindergarten teacher telling my mom, the voice doesn't really develop until about 14, so she should probably just have fun and sing in choirs and do stuff until then. And so I did, but then at 14 I was like, Mom, lesson time. So we did, and from there my coach really inspired me to also start writing, and I was taking piano as well. So that combined with obsessively listening to Sarah McLachlan albums allowed me to think I could write a song, and then think I could maybe record a song, and then the business part of things, I guess, gets going a little bit. But certainly a wide-eyed 14-year-old started just playing piano and thinking she could write some music. So that's where it all began.
Now, I didn't know that. Was your mom a music instructor, or how did she know that? Is that when, at 14, is when you actually reach your vocal limitation or the beginning of it?
Well, I think there was, she's a lawyer, actually.
Okay.
Just recognized my musical, interest as a young little thing, and I was in all sorts of classes. It was wonderful that I got to explore some of that very early on, because that stuff really sticks with you, learning rhythm, learning harmony, learning all those things. It's like learning a language when you're young, it just sticks with you. So that, I was very grateful for that. But no, it was my kindergarten, music teacher or something that said that the voice doesn't really begin to be able to be developed until about 14, which I think is true, because having gone through university now, and I did opera throughout university, there is some truth that the voice really doesn't set itself up to be trained until you've gone, at least started to go through some puberty, especially for the guys.
I did.
their voice
Mr.
are like
Bieber.
Wonderful, yeah.
He's had his moment.
Beautiful, yeah. And then all of a sudden, there's this cracking. So, yeah, no, I think there's a similar thing for girls as well. And whether it was true or not, I'm not sure. But at 14, I remembered that age very well. So I was like, hey, I'm 14 now. I can do this.
I remember being traumatized when Donny Osmond's voice broke.
Oh, trauma, that, yeah, that's right.
It was a really upsetting moment for me. Now, what would you, do you recommend it all? You know, we've all had, you seem to have loved all the lessons that you did. Like, you just, it was a passion for you. You know, I've gone through one child after the other, going through all six of them, trying to get them to take a lesson and stick with it and whatnot. And
yeah.
Would you say, though, if that's not their niche, it's just not their niche? Or is there some sort of stick-to-itness that you'd have to adhere to? Like, you've got to take lessons. Because don't we all regret, oh, I wish I'd stuck to my piano lessons?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's certainly some of that. And I think, well, I mean, not being a mother, I'm not sure from the other side what that's like. And you said you had six? Oh, my goodness. But I would think, certainly in my household, there was a strong emphasis placed on hard work and follow through and perseverance and all those things. And that has really stood me in good stead now.
Right.
Like, there are so many things. I mean, in life in general, but certainly in the business that is music, it is part of it is being talented, and the other part is sticking with it and learning how to make it work. And I think really now more than ever, you need to have both of those skill sets to really have a career, because it's the way the music industry is set up. It's not just looking for people who are talented and plucking them out of obscurity, and, you know, unless you follow the American Idol route or something like that. I think it's much more developing who you are as an artist, but also who you are in the industry and how you sell music. And if you make full records or EPs, if you tour, or if you, you know, do YouTube videos, like, there's all sorts of different ways to make a career. And I think some of that lessons, working, you know, every week a little bit, has helped develop that skill set in me. There were certainly things that I did, like, my mom had me in harp.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, you know, I'm a strawberry blonde. I think she had visions of me being some sort of like Celtic harpist, and that did not happen. I remember going to those lessons, and it took, you know, the lessons were like 2 hours, because it took an hour to tune the thing before you could actually begin to play it. There's so many strings, but
they're huge.
You know, they're huge. You know, I was this little girl, but I tried it. You know, but I think she realized, okay, maybe we'll just stick with piano and voice. And
it's very different, those old campfire sing-alongs. Hey, Meredith, pull out your
harp. Yeah, there's something a little bit precious about it. So, yeah, that the harp sat in our house for a little while, but then I think we finally, you know.
Hard to get it on the bus, get your lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. You touched on that you'd gone to university. Would you say that is something, did your parents say after high school, or did you want to just go pursue your career, or was there kind of I've always kind of said, you know, I think it's wonderful, have that career, but have something to fall back on?
Yeah, I mean, there is that catch-22 with that, just that philosophy in general, that, like, if you, you know, go try this thing, but have something else to fall back on. I think that makes sense on one level, but I also think it's very unhelpful, because I think the only way you can really go for something this risky and this kind of impossible is to not have something to fall back on, because you're forced to, you know, work your tail off to make it happen. And I think it can split your focus. But that being said, I did have some interest in going into a more specific performance-based program, like a Berkeley in Boston, or, you know, something like that, or something in New York. But my parents, and again, very rightly so, gotta love the parents, they just said, you know, I think you need to go get a general good BA, you know, take philosophy courses, take history courses, take lots of stuff, because, you know, you're a writer at the end of the day. Like, you need to know things to write about and put context behind things, and I couldn't thank them more for that, because it's totally true. I mean, there are things now that some of my peer group, in terms of that are performing, especially ones that are doing more of the acting and singing that way, you know, they don't have a huge context for the work that they're doing, the plays that they're performing. They don't, you know, they haven't read some of those great books, or you know, just sat around thinking about Plato, or, you know, the stuff that the university you know, and it really only happens once. But there's only that one kind of window in your life where it's okay to sit there and
it gives you
you know, you don't have a lot of time. Yeah,
a base. So now you met so many amazing people. And I have a feeling that at one point, very soon, you're going to be a mentor to many, as I think you already are. Who have been your mentors? Who have really inspired you?
Well, I've had I've been fortunate. I feel like I've had a few along the way, and I definitely am someone who seeks them out. I think they're I think that's a very important way to learn and way to get connected. And thank you for saying that. I really hope that I can be that for people, because again, I just believe in that sort of process. And I've had a few. I would say my first was the first producer I worked with when I was 14, 15 in Nashville. His name was Mal Shaw. No relation to me, just happened to be. And he saw me play. He thought I had something going on and brought me to Nashville, and I had my first kind of big studio recording experience, and it just blew my mind. It showed me what was possible. You know, there are a lot of things looking back on it now that I feel like I was pretty naive about, but I was 14. That's okay.
Yeah.
But, it really opened my eyes to what was possible, and it gave me the idea that I could actually pursue this. So he was definitely someone. And actually, just as a side note, the last time I was in Nashville, I looked him up and we met up, and it was just wonderful, you know. Like,
really? Did he see a huge change?
Oh, yeah. He hadn't seen me since I was at 16. And we worked together, and we had a little bit of success. I got a bit of a development deal out of the record that we made, or the demo that we made. But, you know, things happen. It's up and down. I went to university growing up. And so he was thrilled to see that I was, you know, doing it and writing songs with people in Nashville. And so it was great. It was a wonderful reconnection. So, it's interesting to have them, but then to also keep in touch with them. It's a really beautiful kind of experience. And then I would say this wonderful woman, and if your listeners are interested in pursuing any kind of vocal coaching or any of that, I really could not recommend her highly enough. Her name is Elaine Overholt. And I met her, I did a TV show in Toronto called Pop Stars, and Elaine was the vocal coach on it. And she was so, just was able as a coach to really see you and to really bring you to your next level of potential. And that's her great ability and talent. And she runs a studio out of Toronto. And I was finished university with a, you know, degree in music and drama, and was thinking, what do I do now? And she hired me to be her assistant and run her studio. And so I sat there listening to lesson after lesson after lesson of people come in, and she was working on big films like Chicago. She vocal coached Chicago.
Wow.
And Hairspray. And she brought me on all those sets, and I met all those people, and I, you know, it was, she was really huge for me in terms of connecting me to the industry in Toronto and just seeing, you know, what was out there in terms of the other performers and everything. So I still know her to this day. She just came to my Toronto date a couple weeks ago. And and then I guess the next one would be Gordy Johnson, rock and roller extraordinaire, Big Sugar. So I met him, and that's how I got on this leg of my musical journey, making this record, Place Called Happy. We met, he saw something and brought me to Austin, and we made a record, and then he, I guess, liked that and liked how I worked, so then he brought me on the road with Big Sugar. So for the past year or so, I've been out with them, and that definitely changed my
That had to be the I'm there.
It was nice, definitely. I mean, I'd never performed in front of audiences like that, the size, the you know, everything about it was just a big shiny bus. I mean, it's what you think it is, you know, and it was really cool to experience that from the position that I was in, which was relatively stress-free. You know, I certainly wasn't carrying that load or having to draw audience or any of that. I could just really soak it up and learn stuff from it and have a really good time. And I think most of the people who've been along my musical journey before Big Sugar and after, I think they've said that they see a real change in me on stage. Just my, I don't know if you would say confidence, because I always feel like I was relatively confident, but there's just a more, something a little bit more solid, a bit more deserving to be there, a little bit more at ease, I guess you could say. And
right.
I think that's just come from doing that many shows in front of that many people, you know, with a big rock band. It's just, that was never going to be my path, and then it was, so.
Sorry, you sang right with Big Sugar. You were right
I
up
did, yeah. I was in that band basically for that tour and 2 summers worth of festival stuff. And then Gordy is an incredibly generous guy as well. He allowed me to sing a couple of my songs leads as well within the set of Big Sugar. So it was, he couldn't have been nicer. And he really taught me as well how to run my own band and, you know, some of the business sides of it as well. And so I've taken a lot of that from him. So this last tour that we did, there was a lot of Gordy Johnson stuff in that.
That's a good.
And it worked out really well.
And did you find now? Did you stay in touch with the band? Did you stay in touch with Big Sugar? Have you been able to stay in contact? Were they really good with working with you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we played Windsor on the tour like last week or so, and Kelly Hoppe, Mr. Chill from Big Sugar, opened, and we did a duet together. And I just talked to Gordy yesterday. He's also in Quebec. They're doing a tour with Wide Mouth Mason right now. So, and the guy from Wide Mouth Mason, who they opened up for Big Sugar on that tour, and the drummer from Wide Mouth is now my drummer. I'm very connected with them still. It's once you're in that Gordy Johnson, Big Sugar kind of family, you tend to take some, maybe a little bit to get into it, but once you're into it, you kind of stick around. And I do a lot of writing with Gordy as well, so we're writing for my next record, and I'm also writing with him for some of his other projects. So,
That's cool.
Very much in touch with those boys.
Well, your first record. Now, is this going to be Place Called Happy was your first record?
Yeah.
Where did that title come from? What's that?
It's from one of the songs. I have a song on the record called Happy, and it's a lyric in one of the songs, in that song. And I don't know. All the songs started to feel like they were about that being in your 20s and finding happiness, so to speak, but happiness not as like La La Land happy, but that kind of life peace. And a lot of my friends were searching for that. You know, you're finished university, you're finding out what you want to do, you're falling in love, you're getting, you're breaking up, you're getting married, you're doing all those kind of big decisions. And it just seemed like all the songs were focusing around that idea. So it's kind of where it came from.
Well, you must find you've been writing pretty much all your life. I mean, you're a writer.
I have, I guess. Yeah.
Since you could pick up your crayon, you were starting. the songs change, though, don't they? I'm a writer, too, and I do know that what I wrote when I was 15, 16, as opposed to what I wrote between 20 and 25, 25 to 30, and so on and so on, and oh, dear Lord, so on. It changes. Now I write about feeling hot and cold all the time. But before that, it was a lot more fun. And you must find that looking at the things that you wrote way back as to what you're writing about now, so, so different.
Definitely. Absolutely. I mean, I think when you start out, really in anything, but if you take writing specifically, you're mimicking, basically, the people you like, right? I mean, when I listen to especially old demos and stuff, I mean, I sound like I'm trying my hardest to be Sarah McLachlan. Like, that's what I sound like. And I think you start off, really having been very influenced by people that you love and think you're doing a wonderful job. And so you're just, there's some mimicry and imitation going on. And people think you're good because you sound like them. Like, that's the mark of you being good. And then you start to be good because you're your own voice and your own person, and you're writing about your own stuff that, makes sense because it makes sense to you. And I think that is the journey that I'm on right now. And I think this next record will be even more of that. And hopefully, the next will be even more. I hope I get deeper into that, because I think that's what makes music especially interesting to people, is because it's, you somehow are able to be really honest and clear about your own life and then say it in a way that invites everyone else into that experience, and they can be like, oh yeah, that totally happened to me, even though it's so specific to you. I find that I'm really trying that in my writing this time around, just to be really, really specific. And I think the more specific you are, the more appealing or understandable it is, which I think is a bit counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
I think you maybe try to write generally or talk about things in a way that people can understand, but I think people really actually understand that kind of specificity. So I'm trying to do more of that with this record. And the songs are going really well. I'm co-writing with a lot of people. I'm really exploring the idea that, you know, the more creative people you get together, the better. And I think it's true, certainly for me. You know, I'm not being as protective. I'm not being as like, I need to write this because if I don't write this myself, that means I'm not good enough or I don't know, any of that stuff. It's just that's all abandoned. And I have such wonderful collaborators in my life now musically that I just think the more the merrier really with that stuff.
Right. So now these are all brand new songs, no re-records. These are what you've written and co-written with other people.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right. Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah. It is exciting. I'd like to, you know, I'd like to make another record of about 10 songs. And right now we're at about 16. I'd love to get like 20 or 22 and then pick the best 10. I really want to write a lot and then kind of pick the best. But yeah, they're all sounding pretty cool right now. And we were able to, you know, we're doing them live now too. So it's this great experience that I didn't have with the first record of almost like, you know, test marketing, like, you know, we're able to get the songs up with the band and go to a tour. And it's really interesting to see what songs, you know, the audience reacts to in what way. And you can kind of, you can feel it in a room when a song that no one's heard before is working. There's like a little bit of electricity that happens, even if they're like the really quiet ones, you know, the room shuts up if it's working. And if it doesn't, well, oh, okay.
Well,
maybe that song isn't
done
yet, you know.
You're starting the first leg of your tour soon, and is it going to be in Ontario specific?
Yeah, we're doing Ontario specific at this point. I am going out west in November, but we're sticking to Ontario for this one. And this is a bit of a different tour. I mean, the tour we just did was more traditional in terms of like a band and clubs and that kind of thing. This one that we're doing in October is focusing around what you were talking about, the Girls Who Believe song and tour and contest, all that. We're doing so we're doing daytime shows in schools and organizations and after-school programs and community centers, you know, places where younger girls are that perhaps aren't able to go into the traditional music venues and really reach them that way. So we're doing a lot of those daytime dates in October and in Ontario, and then we're having one big thing on October 10th called Girls Who Believe Fest. And I'm so excited about it. It's all just coming together really well. And I've got a lot of other female singer-songwriters also on the bill. And
wow.
I've got female business owners going to be set up in the room as well. We're doing it at a place called the Great Hall in Toronto. And they're going to be set up as well, selling what they've created. And so we've got a fantastic female comedian who's going to be the MC, and all the proceeds are going to go to Girls Inc., the charity that we're working with. But everyone just seems to be got a lot of good energy for it, and I think it's going to be a great night, and hopefully it's something that will continue every year. You know,
that's October 10th. Where is it again?
October 10th, the Great Hall in Toronto. That's on 1087 Queen Street West.
Okay.
And yeah, ticket info and stuff is all up on meredithshaw.com. But yeah,
perfect.
I think it's going to be a really, really cool evening.
Okay.
And we're hoping to get the girl who won the contest up to do some singing as well. So we're really going to try to incorporate the vibe of what that song is about.
Okay. And I just want to stop there for a second, Meredith, because
yeah.
I know that your main career is obviously your singing career. But when
right.
you and I spoke a couple of weeks ago, and basically
yeah.
Our whole show would be about, you know, this is what Meredith does. She's got this one career. Your passion is really showing other girls, because they're not women yet, but you're showing other girls,
yes.
not only, you know, can you rise to where you are with perhaps if that is your passion, a singing career, yes, but you were also talking about so many other things with me, and you kind of blew me away, because
no.
Well, you've gone after things, basically, and you've taken it. I would love for you to tell the story, because you are also a host on
yes.
a very well-known radio station at Boom 97.3. I love the story you told me about how you got that job, and I would love it if you'd share it, because I think that the way that you did it would just blow some of the girls away. Like, so, you know, if you want to do something, just
yes.
go for it. Tell us how you got that job.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And this is proof of the pudding for sure. It's a pretty ridiculous story, but sometimes those ridiculous things actually work. I just had a feeling that this would be something that I would be good at. I don't know why, but I did, and I decided that I should probably check it out and probably try to apply to radio stations to be a host. And so I didn't have a demo. I'd never done a radio show before, but I have a company called Muffy Made, and we were in the event gift lounge of the Much Music Video Awards. And so I had a whole bunch of stories about musicians I'd seen. You know, you see some kind of behind-the-scenes stuff. I had a little bit of gossip, whatever. So I thought, oh, I'll do a little demo, and I'll send it around to stations across the country. I might have to move. Who knows? We'll deal with that once we get there, but I'm just going to do it. So I have an iPhone, you know, I have a record button. So I sat in my bedroom and did a couple what I thought were, like, intros or throws or something that I'd heard on the radio. Now looking back at those, it's, like, super hilarious because it totally isn't. But I did like a weather report and talked about a little bit about something, and then I threw a Lady Gaga song, and that was that. And I sent it around to all these radio stations that I'd, you know, found.
About 100.
I just decided to just get it out there and see what sticks. And luckily, the thing that stuck was a Toronto station, Boom 97.3, and I've been there for 2 years. And the assistant program director, Troy McCallum, who's my radio angel, said, I have no idea why I'm calling you in here, because this is not a demo. I don't know what you sent me, but this, I don't know what this is. But I have a feeling about you. I'd just like to meet you. And sure enough, we met and clicked, and he gave me a job. He said that it wasn't going to be, a big day part right away, because I had to learn how to do the whole board, because I don't know how to do that. He thought I sounded good on air, but I didn't know the sort of ins and outs of everything. So they had me, you know, I had to earn my stripes. I started overnights on the weekends in Toronto, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., and luckily only had to do that for about 4 months, and then they put me onto the weekend morning show, and then now they've put me onto the main show on the weekend, and I swing, you know, all the other host parts as well. So it's been a wonderful addition to what I do musically, because they love what I do musically. They think it's an asset, and it's a bit of a kind of regular-ish job. I mean, you know, from being in radio, it's not totally 9-to-5, but there's something slightly more regular to it than, you know, running around the country singing songs. So that's kind of the story.
That's crazy. It's so inspiring, because it shows that you can, you know, have something that you don't think is, you know, you have no idea what you're doing, but you have an idea that, you know, it's something that you want to do. And like you said, you send it to all these radio stations. No one got back to you, but one did. And I think that's the whole thing to tell them. Okay, so 99 didn't, but one did.
That's it. Yeah.
You've got to try.
No, that's it. And that's all you need, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. You do have to
all
try.
You need.
And I think you have to keep trying. And, you know, I think luckily that sort of happened. But had that not happened, I would have tried again. You know, I think, and that's the state that I'm in with music as well. You know, it's wonderful that I met Gordy and that kind of all that happened. But I always ferociously read people's biographies who had been successful, because I kept thinking that I would read something that would be the key to what it is. And you know, stories like that that I said with the radio thing, it hopefully, you know, it is relatively inspiring, but it also, I remember hearing stories like that and being like, well, one in a, you know, it happened to her. Like, it's not anything that someone can really repeat necessarily, other than the fact, like you said, that it's the initial, you know, spirit and the initial decision that you're just going to try it.
Sure.
And that's something that in all the bios that I read, that's the common denominator of kind of success, is that people tried it and they kept trying it.
Yeah.
And eventually it worked. And if it didn't work, I guess they didn't write a biography. But the ones that did work, I guess, got some books out of it.
I'm sure yours will be coming out pretty soon too. But in the
meantime, I don't know about that.
Well, Meredith writes her biography. What's your website, Meredith?
It's MeredithShaw.com.
MeredithShaw.com. So here's what I want to ask you too. Explain a bit about the contest. Is it still on, or is that done now?
The contest is wrapped up because we were doing that over the summer, and it was really wonderful. It was I posted a video of myself asking girls to post videos onto YouTube as to why they are a girl who believes, like what they believe in, what makes them tick, what gets them going. And the responses we had were so cool. They were really creative, and they were young girls, but also, you know, women. And that was the point of the whole thing. Like, no age limit there for sure. But yeah, people were just putting up videos saying why they were, what they were passionate about and what they wanted to do and how they were able to do it or how they're trying to do it. Very much what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
And the winner got a spot in my music video for the song, and I got a fantastic Canadian signer to do a really beautiful butterfly piece, which is kind of a symbol of what we're doing with Girls Who Believe. And they got $250 in their name to the charity.
Oh,
Girl
nice.
Bank. So,
yeah,
so we wanted to you know, give a prize pack that was a little bit fun with the jewelry and the cameo, but then, you know, had some weight to it and some value with you know, having money donated in their name to a charity that does incredible work for girls and women as they pursue their dreams, which is really what this whole song is about. So it all fit very well together. And the girl who ended up winning, her name was Allison Colby. She's 9 years old, and she's from Ajax, Ontario. And she just could not be more exactly what we're talking about in this whole thing. She writes
you or a
story.
Hmm.
Yeah, a video.
Yeah.
And it's up on YouTube. And,
oh, it is.
It's actually, yeah, it's on my website as well.
Okay.
And, yeah, you can check that out. She's just the sweetest little thing. And she sings a couple songs that she wrote herself, which are all about, you know, like that she's fearless and just like really wonderful stuff.
She's 9 years.
She's 9 and she's writing songs. And then what really got me, at the end, I was watching, you know, we were watching the videos with my manager, and we're sitting there going through and just basically crying the whole time because everyone
yeah.
was so lovely. But what really got us about Allison was that at the end of the video, she was the only person that turned around, you know, I believe in this, I believe in this, to that she said at the end, she's like, I believe in you, to like the listener, like the person watching the video. And it was this really amazing thing for this child to kind of understand that it's in order for, you know, you to have belief in yourself and what you're doing, and you need to pay that forward a little bit. You need to give that back. And just that realization, I was like, winner, we found it.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We found her. So
you
it
must,
was really
she must inspire you too, I guess, eh?
Oh, my gosh, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's always stuff
me.
That doesn't work. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, even setting up this Girls Who Believe Fest, like, on the 10th, it's hard. You know, there's stuff, there's logistics, people can't do it, people say yes, people say no. And you get a little bit like, oh, man, this is tricky, this is hard. And then you think about, you know, that video and Allison, and it's just, it's all worth it. So, yeah, she got to come and be in the video with me, which was really fun. She did great. And she sings some of the song, and that video is going to come out on the 10th, and then it's going to, Much Music gave us a grant for it, so it'll be on Much and stuff later on, but it'll premiere at the 10th. And yeah, that's sort of the contest part of things. So that has wrapped up, but the tour and the shows and stuff will continue.
Which is called the Tra-La-La Tour.
We just, yeah, that was the tour that we just did. So we did
Tra-La-La.
Okay,
that's finished. Okay.
Yeah, we just finished that one, and then this one, this will be, you know, Girls Who Believe, and then the Girls Who Believe Fest will happen on the 10th.
Okay, so now when you just shot the music video for Girls Who Believe, and Allison is in that video, right?
She is, yeah.
She is in that. Okay, tell us a bit about that, because that's fascinating for a lot of us. What was that like to shoot a music video? Like, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. Luckily, it's the third one I've been able to do, and I worked with a wonderful director named Ryan Nolan, and I knew as soon as I'd seen some of his previous work that he would be a great match for this song. He comes from a more of a like a photographic background, and I wanted something really beautiful for this video, and not very slick, like something, just tender and lovely and inviting. I didn't want anything too music video-like, almost like you're just stumbling upon this video. And we shot it at the Toronto Islands. You know, the lyrics, you know, say, I'll go down to the water to find more of life than I see. So we went down to the water and had just a great day. The sun was beautiful. Everything was kind of working. And I had I had Allison and then two other runners-up from the video, little girls as well. So there are three little girls. And then I had five of my own girlfriends in the video. And we just had a great day. And it didn't really feel like a music video shoot. It felt like I was hanging out with some friends on a beach.
Did you do it in one day?
We did, yeah. We did it in one day. We did one little pickup shoot another day, but that was in a different location, and it just involved me. So, a couple days shoot, and we're now just going through rough cuts and edits and things like that right now, all the fun stuff that happens after after the video. But it's looking great, and the director did a wonderful job. He got some really beautiful shots, and Allison looks lovely in it, and she did a great job remembering all the lyrics and, you know, not being too nervous and all that, so...
No,
yeah,
we can't
great.
See that one yet, right? It opens October the 10th?
Not yet. We're premiering it October 10th, and then it will, and then it'll be definitely up on YouTube and also on Much Music, so people will see that.
That's fantastic. That well, Much Music gave you a grant for some of this. Have they been really supportive with what you're doing?
Yeah, it's wonderful to have that that offer of support. We certainly applied for videos before, just like everyone else, and haven't got the grant. So it's not, it's not a guarantee. But I think when they see a good idea and something with certainly the the goodwill that's attached with this project, I think they thought that it was something cool to get behind. So MuchFact is wonderful at supporting artists, both indie artists like myself and also artists that are on labels, because really the music industry is at that stage where everyone needs a little bit of help. It's great to have their support, that's for sure.
Do you find, can you just share with us, because I know you've traveled a little bit, is Canada, sometimes people think you have to go to the States, and I want you to talk to the girls that are listening about that and the boys. With regards to, we have an amazing talent base here with music, movies, the shoots that are going on throughout Canada. In fact, in Ontario, is amazing. Do you feel that you need to, go to the States to do your stuff, or are you really supported here in the industry? And be honest with us.
Well, I think there is a lot of support. I think there is that age-old thing that us Canadians have that, there are a huge number of people, comedians, actors, actresses, musicians that are Canadian that are out in the world doing huge things. And I don't know if it necessarily, sometimes you have to go out to get recognized, like to come back, if that makes any sense. I think we get a lot of our, what is it, the tone of what's popular or things get defined elsewhere, I think, unfortunately, sometimes that happens. So I do think there is still value in touring and getting recognized other places in order to kind of have that recognition at home. But that being said, I think there's a lot of support if you're out looking for it in Canada, both for, actually making the music, touring. I mean, Factor gives a lot of grants, and there are just a lot of, there's a good audience for it as well,
Yeah.
I think the live music audience is quite generous and receptive. I've certainly had a good time touring, now across the country, and people are very, just generous and supportive, and they like music that they don't know yet, and they, buy CDs of stuff that they just met that they liked. And so all that, you need all that to make it work. But I don't know, I think there's still... value and also kind of actual monetary value of making it, so to speak, in the States, that's for sure.
Tell us your favorite, you were on tour with Big Sugar. What was your favorite spot, the most receptive audience where you played?
Well, it's interesting because Gordy has a few hometowns because he grew up in a few different places, so it was a bit of a joke that we'd show up and it's like, oh, it's his hometown. Everywhere we went, it was his hometown, which is a nice way to be as an artist. But I think my favorite experience on that tour was probably in Winnipeg at the Burton Cummings Theatre. It's very
really?
Much like a Massey Hall type venue. And when I walked out on that stage for a sound check, I mean, it took my breath away. Like, I had tears in my eyes. I just thought I couldn't believe that I was going to be playing there and singing on that stage. So, and actually, coincidentally, that was the night that the live DVD was shot, which is going to be coming out with their next tour that they're going on just in about a month. So that was probably my favorite venue experience. Big Sugar has a song called called All Hell for a Basement, and it's all about Newfoundlanders who've moved into Alberta. And so singing that song either in Newfoundland or in Alberta is pretty unbelievable. You know, the whole crowd is singing, the whole crowd is clapping along, and it resonates incredibly. There's a lot of emotion attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that musical experience in either Alberta or Newfoundland is pretty cool. The East Coast is an amazing place for music. I often wish I was from the East Coast. There's a lot. We talked about support in Canada. There's a lot of support for their artists out there. And
they're an amazing people.
Oh, amazing people. So kind, so generous, so open, and so musical. Like, you know, a lot of the artists that I know out there, and I've worked with quite a few, and I'm co-writing with quite a few of them, you know, they can play anything. Like, you put anything in front of them, fiddle, banjo, guitar, piano, you know, anything, they can just play it because they've grown up with kitchen parties and, you know, everyone hanging out, playing music with each other. And it's not about being really good at it. It's just about everyone doing that. You know, dad did it, my uncle, everyone. So there's an ease with a musicianship out there that I find really, really cool. So I got a little bit off your topic there. But yeah, I would say that Burton Cummings Theater in the Winnipeg was pretty awesome.
Now you've had you're so positive. You had so many positive things to say, and you're so honest. I had Neil Crone on the show not too long ago, and I asked similar questions about, you know, your favorite spot and about being a Canadian actor as opposed to, I mean, he's certainly worked abroad too, and he loves to work in Canada, but he did tell us, I said, you know, who's your favorite actor? And he said, well, you know, I really loved, he worked with John Travolta when John did Hairspray out here.
Oh.
Right? And you were also involved in Hairspray, you were telling me. Right?
I
so,
was.
Well, Neil, so was Neil. Now, he said most of his stuff got cut on the cutting floor, but that's okay.
No,
that's the way it
that's
is.
Life. Yeah.
But
oh my
he
gosh,
was
cool.
Good. He told me about, you know, what a great guy Travolta was and da-da-da-da.
Yes.
And then I said, anybody you don't like? Well, he said a very well-known actor on that set. And he said the name over the air, but I'm not going to because I'm not going to be sued. And he said the name over the air, and he said he was just awful and treated everybody terribly and was not even in the same caliber as Travolta, but just had a real air about him. And, you know, that's the one thing that, you know, I certainly try and warn people that want to get into any kind of a media, music, acting business. There is that. As there is in any job, you know, you can work at McDonald's and people be nice or not so nice.
Yeah.
You have to build up as much as you want to be a wonderful, kind and you know, inspiring person, you do have to in this business have a little bit of a tough shell.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Because not everybody
you definitely
is. Now, I don't know who couldn't love you, but I'm sure.
I can give you a list. Yeah.
There's been a moment or two. So,
of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you come up with something like that, like what, how are we telling the kids, you know, you've got to get back in there and you've got to just pull yourself up. It's easy to say when you're old as socks as I am, because I've been pulling my socks up for 50 some odd years.
Right.
How do you tell the younger kids, it don't let that stop you?
Yeah, it's a real tough one. And I thank my lucky stars that I have the parents that I have.
Okay.
Because there's a huge support there. And I've had girlfriends that I've had since I was little, like 2 or 3 years old. We've grown up together all the way through, you know, elementary, high school, university. And now, you know, a couple of them are pregnant and they're having, you know, all these things. So I think the industry can be so unkind And I think you get consumed by it because you have to. Like, your friends are in the industry. Everything is about what you're doing. And when I say industry, I just mean also people doing what you're doing. I don't just necessarily people, you know, the business part of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And it can get really, it can get competitive and difficult, and you can start thinking, like, I don't know if I can do this, if this is worth it. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't, you know, you have all those conversations with yourself. And you can be really, really hard on yourself. And I certainly was and am, but I try now when I hear those voices to just, like, that's not true, like, enough, like, go, you know, go watch Allison's video. but it's, I think it's important to have people who are not involved in what you're trying to do who love you anyway. I think it's good to know that that exists, and then and I think you really do have to have that conversation with yourself, those same voices that say, oh, I should try that, I think I'd be good at that. It's that inner strength that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think deep down you have that. Like, and if you don't have it, then maybe this isn't it. You know, maybe this isn't your thing. Like, maybe there's other stuff. Because it's not easy. It's not an easy path. It's incredibly satisfying, and it's incredibly heartbreaking all at the same time. And I think you have to be up for it. And I think also it's not bad if you're not. You know, there are other ways to be involved in this. You don't have to be trying to be an artist. Like, you could, I mean, I'm talking specifically about music, but I think it applies to other industries as well. It's not, you don't have to always go for that top position. You can like what you do, but find other ways to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to be really honest with yourself in that moment and know if you're up for it or not. And if you're up for it, then pull your socks up, shut up. Go back at it, you know.
Do it
that's
again.
The deal. That's what you're getting involved in. You can't get involved halfway. It's not, you know, it's all in or you're out. And you can be out, you know. And you can be out along the way.
Yeah. With any luck at all, you have to at some point, you know, as things progress, and they do, and, you know, and I have some friends that have done very well in very different industries, some in music, some in acting. And the hardest thing for them has really been, when we've had a real heart-to-heart, is that they've had to stop interacting directly with some people, because you get hangers-on and whatnot, and all of a sudden, you know, you have the personal phone number for someone, and the next thing you know, you're talking to their agent. Like, what happened?
Right.
What happened to her? Well, I think... Because you have to have people in there intercepting sometimes, and I don't think that some people understand that at some point that is what happens, because you sometimes do meet people that just want to ride on your coattails, and you have to tell them, you know, you need to go do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, I think that's probably true. I mean, I there's certainly now with what I do at Boom, there are people who are, you know, feel close to me, and that's a nice thing. I mean, as I'm sure you have too, but sometimes that can get a bit much, you know, and you have to be a little bit careful with things like that. But I definitely think as every kind of stage you get to, it's a reevaluation of that. And I think too, something that, again, I learned from Gordy that really blew my mind was, you know, I look at him, he's very, very successful, and I hope, you know, to be at that stage one day. And yet, the things that he's dealing with, both the good and the bad, he said, he's like, they're exactly the same as what you're dealing with. It's just a different, like, this is the life. This is it. This is what it is. It's just, instead of me, you know, oh, no, I didn't get that gig at the Painted Lady or something, he's saying, oh, man, I didn't get that Massey Hall gig, or, you know, but it's the same feeling. It's just a different level. And that was really interesting, because I think when you're someone who's trying to get somewhere, you kind of don't realize that actually what you're doing is what it's going to be.
Exactly.
That's what it is. It, you know, you're already doing it. That's, you know, it's a bit like that Dorothy, there's no place like home, but you're already there. You are already there. And so you need to like it, because that's what it is. And hopefully there's a different level of success that comes with it. But with that different level of success comes a different level of heartbreak and problems, you know, and like you're saying, people that, you know, are a bit two-faced or are more interested in you than they should be, or all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
and we know
I think that's something to when as people are trying to do things, like you're saying, some younger listeners, like they're kind of already doing it. It's just, yeah, just a bit of a different,
And
different
I know,
number of people know about it or something.
I know that as, you know, people listening, the younger ones listening, that we understand guys go through some of it too, but girls more so. And it's very nice to hear for you to be saying that, you know what, remember, you know, what it was like in public school and high school, and girls can be horrible to each other. That is a reality, sadly. We're probably the meanest to each other than you could ever be, and it doesn't stop. Like, those things go on and on throughout your whole life. You just learn to deal with it a whole lot better. And when, you become a little bit more famous and whatnot, these things just don't stop. You know, you have to start building up those abilities, and like you're doing, you're great, you know, being a real mentor for girls, Meredith. I'm very pleased to have met you, to know that that you're out there, and I know that you'll always pull that out. I'm waiting for you to do a book. I can see that coming. I know you can fit it in.
I think I'll get a few more life experiences or a bit more success under my belt, but it would be interesting. That would be an interesting thing. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. I think it's wonderful. Now, you're still with Boom.
I am.
You're doing the tour and all this stuff. How are you fitting all that in? I mean, are we still going to be able to hear you on the radio? Is that going to be
something? Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Not going to let that go?
Oh, yeah. I think that's a big part of it, and I think it's really they balance each other out very well. I mean, I think I've gotten better on stage, especially in between songs, talking and things, because that's what I do on Boom. I talk for, you know, a little bit in between songs, tell an interesting story, get a laugh, move on. You know, so I think they've really helped each other out. And some of the interviews that I get on Boom are because, you know, I'm working in the industry and bands are like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll come on the show because they know me and they, you know, so it benefits you know, everyone all around.
Sure.
No, I think it's going to be something that I do for a very long time. I hope so. And I think, luckily, because it is radio and because we are playing music, they like the fact that I'm in music, and it adds, you know, some credibility to my show, which is a good thing on that station. And they just are very supportive of me doing that. I mean, they're always, you know, they share. I did a music video for Stars a little while ago, and they're sharing that. They're putting that up on the Boom website, and they're talking about it on the air, and the other announcers are really into it. They come out to my shows. You know, I feel pretty fortunate to be at that station, and or very fortunate to be at that station with that group of people. So I hopefully stay there for a long time, and I keep doing the show. I don't know how exactly it'll all play out in terms of what show I'll be doing on that station or what, but certainly right now the weekend is suiting me just fine. I am kind of working 7 days a week because of that, but when you do what you love, it doesn't feel like work. So, yeah.
Will we hear any Meredith Shaw tunes on Boom?
Unfortunately not, although maybe kind of fortunately, because that maybe it would be too tempting. No, we play 70s, 80s, and 90s, so there's no new stuff, so I can't slip it on, no.
You could sneak one in. They won't.
Maybe I could. But we do play some Big Sugar though, so I kind of get on that, a little bit of that way. But no, I don't think there'll be any Meredith Shaw.
So this is 70, 80, 90s. What are you listening to?
Oh man. Well,
for some of you still listen to Sarah McLachlan?
I do, and I just saw Jan Arden at Massey Hall a couple nights ago before I left on my little trip here. I love those women. I think they're great songwriters and really wonderful performers, and have had a lot of success, and a lot of people really like them. So I love staying hip to what they're doing. But I mean, with Big Sugar and stuff, I got introduced to a whole other kind of music, specifically like a lot of reggae stuff, and that's really interesting to me right now. And I love listening to my friends. Things like singer-songwriters, a girl named Emma Lee, who's amazing, and Robin DeLunto, fantastic. Both of them are participating with us on the 10th for Girls Who Believe Fest. But I'm pretty eclectic. But I do listen to a lot of music because I'm at Boom all the time, and then I listen to a lot of music because they're my friends' stuff, and then I also don't listen to music. Then I also go through some just quiet stuff because sometimes it can be a little much, especially when you're writing or making a record, is that you're listening, you know.
Constantly.
But someone that I'm pretty excited to do some work with is someone, a big like musical hero of mine, a guy named Joel Plaskett from the East Coast. We're doing some work together early next year, and he's someone that I listen to constantly, all the time. So to be able to get to do some work with him is really exciting and also incredibly intimidating. But I'm I know pretty much every song he's ever written. I'm a huge fan of his. So, and currently, right now, these past couple days when I've been in Quebec, I've been listening to Ray LaMontagne, who's pretty awesome.
Oh, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you've got, you know what? We're almost at the end of the show. I can't believe how fast it's gone.
Wow.
Yeah. I know, I told you quite quickly.
You're
not
so good at this. Yeah.
just give us a little bit of advice about anyone who wants to try and make it in the music industry. Give me a couple of points here that would really be specific to, I would say, young people who just want it so badly.
Sure. Well, I think it's good to get good at what you do. I think that's a good thing to start with. I think there are a lot of shows now in a culture of, like, you know, show up at this audition and sing a cover of this song and, you know, do a really cool riff, and that means you're an artist. I don't totally subscribe to that idea. I think you need to figure out, you know, what it is that you want to be saying and doing, and get really good at, you know, your instrument, your guitar, your piano, whatever, so that you can go out and support yourself in a solo kind of way. So I think it's basically get good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then get out there. And when I mean that, I mean go to things like, I've become a total like conference junkie, especially when I was younger and starting out. Like, there are lots of things. Like, Canadian Music Week is fantastic. Most of these things are in Toronto, but if you can get there, Canadian Music Week is fantastic for the stuff that happens during the day. I mean, there are tons of bands at night that are really inspiring and great to go see, but it's a bit crazy. But the stuff that happens during the day, there are one-on-one mentor sessions that you can sign up for with, you know, the head of Universal Music and, you know, this producer who produced, you know, all these amazing people. You can literally sign up for one-on-one mentor sessions with these people.
Really? Okay.
You know, stake it out and go there and be so impressive. Like, in 3 minutes. Be impressive. Get your stuff together. You know, have your demo ready. Have your pitch ready. Have your 30 seconds of who you are, what you do, who you sound like, what you want to do. You know, but those things exist and they're out there, and I think people miss them. So in terms of, you know, get good at something that is worth it to show someone, and then, but don't be too precious about it. I mean, get good at it, but then, you know, get out there. And some of those things, like I said, Canadian Music Week, there are organizations like the Songwriters Association of Canada that have great mentor sessions, hookup sessions with other writers, meeting groups. Then there's things like North by Northeast, another festival that happens in Toronto. Again, daytime sessions. You can just go and listen to people talk about the industry and touring and how to tour. I mean, those industry conferences are an amazing place, or they have been for me, to meet the industry people that you need to meet, because they're very hard to have access to, and also to collaborate with some of the other artists that you meet there. Sometimes some of the entrance fees are a little bit expensive, but there are ways to get around that in terms of winning things or being, you know, often they have like artist programs or artist rates, or of course if you're an artist and you apply to play those festivals, then you get into all the daytime stuff for free. But I really, get good and then get out there, and hopefully those are a couple resources that.
I'm going to throw my two cents in here. I've got two recommendations for people. Think Shaw, number one.
Yeah.
Get out there and know who Meredith Shaw is, because she is amazing. And if you think Shaw before you go on an audition or something, you'll get through it. The second thing I want to recommend is to go to your website. Tell us again what it is.
It's meredithshaw.com.
Easy. Meredithshaw.com. Think Shaw. Meredith, thank you. Much for being on the show. You are absolutely delightful. We didn't get into Muffy Maid. There's things to talk about next time you're on the show.
Absolutely.
And I think I'd love to have, I know we had some people actually trying to call in and chat with you, and we've literally run out of time. So I really want to thank you, Meredith, and we're all going to be looking out for you on October the 10th. Everyone, please go and have a look on meredithshaw.com, and I hope to see you out at the Great Hall at 1087 Queen Street West in the beautiful Toronto. And Meredith, I'm so I'll look out for you to say hello.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Kate. This was wonderful.
Thank you. You are awesome. And everyone
else.
You're
awesome.
I'll talk to you soon. Thanks again, Meredith.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was amazing. Girls, did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
She's awesome, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. We're all going to be October the 10th. We are definitely all going to be down there. I want to meet her in person. I've only spoken to Meredith, an amazing, amazing young woman. So please make sure to go to her website, meredithshaw.com. Join us next week on Get Focused Radio with my guest, Garth Riley. Garth's tremendous. He's a well-known speaker. He's a sought-after consultant. But most of all, he's going to talk to us about his Sticks and Stones May Break My Bones bully-diffusing program. Really excited about. I want to thank all of you for tuning in to Get Focused Radio. Thrilled to be moving to WBLQ 1230 AM sometime in October. Go to my website because I really don't know when that's going to happen, www.getfocusedradio.com, for more info about that exciting new face for us at Get Focused Radio. On behalf of my guest, the beautiful Miss Sherida Shaw, and myself, Kate Hennessy, I wish you an amazing day. Everybody, have a great week. Take care.
Guide you, words to remind you of it.